Good morning,
everybody.
Welcome to our Mothering Sunday service, all age service. It's Mothering Sunday, not Mother's Day. Mother's Day is the American version. And I was going to make a joke here about if we start to use the American version, Donald Trump might put a tariff on it. But I think we've moved on from that, haven't we? A little bit. notices. Where are you? Andrew. Andrew's going to come up. Freya, could you turn microphone number one up and turn number 12 down?
My usual sound team's not here.
Is he instructing to turn me off? Is that what he's doing? just a reminder that next Sunday is our next Exploring the Future meeting. So these are the meetings which Neil Brighton, who preached last week, is leading us in to help us work through preparing for looking for a new minister. So this is number two for those of you who attended number one. Number one was great fun. We all sat round tables, ate cake and discussed things. And it was very relaxing. So please feel free to come along. It's 2:30 to 4:30 at Oasis. So you don't have to be a member and you're not asked to do anything apart from sit round, eat cake and discuss what we do about the future. So 2:30 at Oasis next Sunday. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Not that loud. Put me on one.
Okay. just a point of interest as I was working through this service. In 2020, the Mothering Sunday fell on March the 22nd, and that was our first COVID Sandbach Baptist Church at home with Alistair recording the service at Oasis. I'll throw that in. if you're a regular here, you know what we do, where the toilets are and all that. If you're not a regular, you should have been given a notice to tell you what to do, or you're sitting with somebody who knows what to do, so I won't go on with that. let's open in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet here in safety and in your presence. We come before you as we are now, whether joyful or saddened, light of heart or burdened, settled or troubled, and of course imperfect and broken, knowing full well that you are the one true mighty God who loves us just as we are. We bring this service before you and pray that it will enlighten us and bring glory to you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I first became a Christian, I noticed that Christians use words that non-Christians don't. We use words like fellowship. Nobody uses the word fellowship, apart from fellowship of the ring. we have fellowship. We even use it as a verb. We say we are fellowshipping. Or we say, have I said the first line? Is there a first line? I can't remember. Oh, no, I'll do that in a minute. Sorry. Don't do the first slide yet. yes, we say we bow the knee. It's in the Bible, Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Well, where I come from, knees don't bow, knees bend. Heads bow, knees bend. So what we're going to do now, we're going to have a time of worship. And that's another one of those words that non-Christians don't use very often. What it means is we're going to sing two songs to say to God, you are absolutely amazing. What you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and what you will do for us, those are all the best things that can be done for us. And what we want to do at this moment, like the old lady in Mark 12, verse 42, putting two coins into the temple treasury was all that she had. We want to give the best of ourselves to God. And remember, you should really be giving the best of yourselves to God all the time. You don't have to stand. You don't have to sing if you don't like the words. But for the next two songs, just remember how great God is and that Jesus is Lord of all. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art and Jesus is Lord.
How great thou art, how great thou art.
Sit down. Could I have the first slide, please, Joe? This is Moses. Mothering Sunday is a celebration of one member of a family. But families can be complicated. Take Moses here. At the time of his birth, his family were Israelites living in Egypt, slaves of the Egyptians. And the Pharaoh at the time thought there were too many Israelites. So he said to the midwives, "If you're attending the birth of an Israelite child and you see that the child is a boy, then you must kill the child." That's nasty. And when the midwives didn't do this, the Pharaoh told them to throw all the babies into the River Nile, where they would drown. Proper nasty. Then this happened. Now, Joe, you're going to have to follow what I'm saying and click through the reading as we go. Joe's a professional. She knows what she's doing. This is Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, the birth of Moses. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi, the Levites were Israelites, married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then her sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Next slide, please, John. So Moses here was hidden by his own mother, found by Pharaoh's daughter, and sort of adopted. But then she gave him back to the actual mother to nurse him. But once he was older, his mother took him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and now Pharaoh's daughter became his mother. Complicated. And that's how Mothering Sunday can be for some people. Complicated, difficult, upsetting, it's sensitive. We may have more than one mother, or no mother at all anymore, or a mother who's estranged from us, or a mother who's a long way away. We might be a mother who don't have children who can help celebrate Mother's Day with us. Mothering Sunday, sorry, Donald. So let's just be aware of that as we go through this service. And we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, "My Lord, What Love Is This?" And stand if you want to. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Can I have the next slide, please, Joe? Okay, what I could do with now is a 12-year-old or two, but we don't have any. Because I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to ask the question, if you're nearly 12, what do you want to be when you grow up? So, Freya. I asked you this 10 minutes ago. Come on, you could. A singer or a teacher? That's not worthy of a round of applause, for goodness sake. I did ask Cordelia I asked Eleanor what she wanted to be, and she said a dancer. So you could perhaps do a girl group. Heidi, do you know what you want to be? You want to be a dancer as well? Okay. So anybody else, when you were 12, what did you want to be? Anybody?
Pilot.
Pilot? Hairdresser?
Ray says 13.
Just a moment, Brent. So what was that?
Flowers.
A florist.
Sorry, Ray says 13.
Oh, 13. I remember asking Sophelia what she wanted to be, and she said, I want to be an adult. Very clever. I wanted to be an astronomer when I was 12. I guess the next question then is, what did your mum want you to be when you were 12? Oh. Four. Cordelia's mum wants Eleanor to be a teacher. My mum wanted me to be a doctor. She said I would have a lovely bedside manner. Instead, what are you laughing at? Instead, I've been working with computers for the best part of 45 years. The reason I'm asking about 12-year-olds will become apparent momentarily. What do you think Jesus' mum wanted him to be when he grew up? Any ideas? A carpenter, yeah. Perhaps follow in the family business. His dad, Joseph, his earthly father, is mentioned only once in the Bible. In Matthew 13, an adult Jesus goes back to his hometown and starts teaching the people in the synagogue. And the people say, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Now, the word translated as carpenter is the Greek word tekton. And it's where we get our words technology and technical from. And it implies that Joseph was a skilled worker, perhaps not just with wood, but with other materials as well. And he would have been a useful member of the small town of Nazareth. Probably both Joseph and Mary would have liked Jesus to continue in the family business. And it's probable that at first that's what he did. But a more complicated question is, what do you think Jesus wanted to be when he grew up? It's an interesting and ultimately unanswerable question to ask when Jesus became aware of his mission on earth. Did he always know? Did he start to understand as he grew up? Did he not know until he was baptized and he heard his father say, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased"? So we're going to have our reading and see if we can have some way of understanding this question. Joe, could we start? Just going to have a drink of water. Every year, this is Luke 2, verses 41 to 52, the boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So you see, by the age of 12, Jesus was referring to God as his father. He was starting to realize who he was. And it must have been quite hard on Mary and Joseph to hear these words, I think. But notice it then says he went home with them and was obedient to them. It's always good to be obedient to your mum and dad, especially when you're young, because they're generally a lot wiser than you are. Now, we're going to sing two more songs. We're going to sing "I'm Special Because God Has Loved Me," and we're going to sing "Take My Life and Let It Be," and we're going to take the collection in the second one of those songs. Thank you. Stand if you want to.
I'm special because God has loved me. Oh, he gave the best thing that he had to save me. His own son, Jesus, crucified to take the blame for all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love right now, to know deep in my heart that I'm your special friend. I'm special because God has loved me, for he gave the best thing that he had to save me. His own son, Jesus, crucified to take the blame for all the bad things I have done. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love right now, to know deep in my heart that I'm your special friend. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life.
I will just pray for the offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the gifts and blessings that you give to us, and we lift these offerings that come from you back to you now. We pray that they will be used wisely, both in the work of this church and in the lives of those who will benefit from it. And for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I'm just going to have a time of prayer now as well. So if you'd like to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you and acknowledge that you are God of all. We ask your forgiveness for the things that we've done that we shouldn't have, and for the things that we should have done but didn't. We look at the world and the terrible mess we're making of it, both in terms of what we're doing to nature and what we're doing to ourselves. We pray for wisdom in our leaders and decision makers, that they would strive for justice and compassion rather than war and greed. We bring our country and its leaders before you and pray for unity and against division in the decisions they have to make. Give them the wisdom to defend the vulnerable and those without voices. Help them to make wise decisions with the resources that they have. We pray for this church here in Sandbach, that you would be in all the activities we do, the BAP, TOTS, Messy Church, Energize, the prayer meetings and the study groups, so that we can bring glory to your name in Sandbach. And we pray especially for our leadership as we continue in this new phase of our church's life. And in a moment of silence, we bring to you those within our church family and our wider families who are struggling, suffering, going through hard times. Let them know your loving arms around them. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Could I have the next slide, please, Joe? Thank you. We had to think about what we think Mary might have wanted Jesus to become. Probably she would have liked him to carry on with the family business and then maybe meet a nice girl, have lots of grandchildren that she could spoil and love and give Christmas presents to. She'd want him to avoid getting into trouble with pub landlords, I'm sure. Maybe she wanted him to help her and Joseph with things as they got older. But she knew things were a bit different with Jesus compared to her other children. She'd heard things about him even before he was born. Now, our mums don't just learn about us from things that we do in their sight. They also hear things about us from other people. For example, our teachers tell them things about us in school reports. So I'm going to have a look at some school reports, probably about six or seven famous people. So Joe, you have to be careful with this. Don't give any answers away. So can we have the first report, please? is a constant trouble to everybody and is always in a scrape, some scrape or other. He cannot be trusted to behave himself anywhere. Who do you think that might be? Me? Okay. Right. No. Joe. Nice guess. Yes, it was a prime minister. It was Winston Churchill. can I have the next one, please, Joe? Me. He will either go... If you're going to say me after every one of these... Right, he will either go to prison or become a millionaire. Any guesses? Somebody said it there. Richard Branson. Yes, Sir Richard Branson. Well done. She is inclined... Oh, can I have the next one? Sorry. She is inclined to sulk if she cannot have her own way. Who? No, it's not Taylor Swift. It's not Margaret Thatcher. No, it's... Joanna Lumley. this is a good one. Next one, please. Certainly on the road to failure. Hopeless. This isn't me. Hopeless. Rather a clown in class, wasting other pupils' time. No? That's not Boris Johnson. No, it is. Thanks, Joe. John Lennon.
Yeah.
I like this next one. A persistent muddler, vocabulary negligible, sentences malconstructed. He reminds me of a camel. Any clues? No, no, it's my mother and father couldn't spell Ronald. It's Roald Dahl. There he is. And the last one. He will never amount to anything.
Albert Einstein.
There he is. I did try and get some school reports for younger people, younger famous people, but I don't know any younger famous people. So, my own school reports, thank you, usually said something like, David is very quiet. I would like him to contribute more in class. Yes, really. Yes. So, things that Mary heard about Jesus. Next slide, please. What things was Mary told by other people? First of all, next slide, please. Even before Jesus was born, even before Mary was pregnant, she was visited by an angel who told her what to call the baby. And then next... Thank you. The man that Mary loved, Joseph, had a dream where an angel told him that Mary was going to have a baby and what the baby should be called. And then, next please. just after she'd given birth, a bunch of shepherds tipped up out of nowhere. And they told her that angels had told them that she had given birth to a saviour. Next one, please. Mary and Joseph presented the baby, Jesus, at a temple, and there was a man there called Simeon. And he said to Mary, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. That's a strange thing to say to a young mother, isn't it? Next slide, please.
Ooh, chocolates.
In the film Forrest Gump, Forrest says, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And we expect things in life. We want to do things. We might want to travel and see the world or do a particular type of job, be a dancer or a singer. We want to be with certain people, have hobbies, activities that we enjoy. Our parents might want different things for us. There could be many reasons for this. They might not want us to make the same mistakes that they did, if indeed they would admit to making mistakes. They might want to pass on their knowledge to help us make decisions. They might think that the path we're following is foolhardy and won't lead to a secure future. Or they might want to follow in a family business and keep it going, something like that. I'm sure Mary had some ideas about the way her eldest son Jesus should conduct himself, but she had extra information about them from other sources. Can I have the next slide, please? Things that Mary knew about Jesus. She knew that it had been conceived in a miraculous way. She knew from an angel and from Joseph that he was to be called Jesus, which means he will save his people from their sins. She knew that the shepherds had been told about his birth by angels. And she knew from Simeon, what Simeon had said, that being his mother was going to bring her pain and that he would have enemies. Perhaps Jesus didn't seem any different from other young boys in those first 12 years of his life. And maybe Mary remembered all the strange things that she'd been told about him, but nevertheless she somehow normalized them. And then when she and Joseph lost him in Jerusalem when he was 12 and spent days looking for him, imagine how distraught she would have been. When I was a kid, I went off playing in a field with some friends once without telling my mum. I was only gone a couple of hours and she phoned the police. So when Mary found Jesus in the temple, she was probably annoyed and relieved at the same time. "Why have you treated us like this?" she said. Jesus didn't apologize. He was very calm, like he was saying, "What's the problem? Haven't you realized yet who I am and what God's plan is for me?" All those things that Mary had been told would have been thrown back into sharp relief when he said that. And we're told his mother treasured all these things in her heart. I'd like to think that all mothers think that their sons are special. I know mine does, because she told me on Thursday when I went to visit her and my dad. But no son ever was or ever will be as special as Jesus. No one has ever or will ever change the world the way Jesus has. Can I have the next slide, please? It's going to be another 20 years before Mary fully understood her son's destiny and the sword that would pierce her soul. Another 20 years before she could understand God's plan for her son. And it can be hard for parents if their hopes and plans for their children don't match up with God's plans for them. We can assume from his comments that by the age of 12, Jesus knew that God had called him, what God had called him to be, though he might not have fully understood the implications of that. And I'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks on Palm Sunday. God had a special purpose for the child, Jesus, and he's got a special purpose for the lives of every child here. And let's face it, we're all somebody's child. God wants them to be the people, he wants them to become the people he has intended. Children are special because God has made them unique and he loves them. How many of us wish that we were other than the way we are? How many of us wish that we'd done things differently in life? But if we do the things that God wants us to do and accept ourselves as God intended us to be, that's an important way for us to grow spiritually. If we accept that God loves us and made us for a purpose and we go along with that, that should free us up from beating ourselves up over things. And of course, when we get things wrong, as we will, we can come before God and ask to be forgiven. If that's a new idea for you, think about it some more. And if it's an old idea for you and it's got buried in the stuff of your day-to-day life, then pull it out and dust it off and think about it some more again. But for Mary's part, she's got a soon-to-be-a-teenage son on her hands. We're told that he was obedient to his parents, but hey, being a teenager has its challenges. You know that if you've been one, you know that if you are one. And in the meanwhile, Mary did for Jesus what all loving mums do for their children. She fed him and she clothed him. She taught him the things that she knew. And even though he was Jesus, I'm sure that she scolded him at times. She worried about him. She loved him and he loved her back. when I was preparing for this service, my dad sent me a copy of a Mothering Sunday service that he'd written in 2018. And in it, he pointed out that Mothering Sunday is the UK version and Mother's Day is the American version, like father, like son. And in it, he said that in Mary, Jesus had the greatest mother. I had to take issue with him on that. I said that actually, Dad, my sister and I have the greatest mother. And I know that you people out there are thinking, actually, Dave, I need to take issue with that because I have the greatest mother. But you're wrong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for mums. And thank you for this day when we can especially celebrate them. We want to say sorry to you and to them for the times we hurt them, but we also want to acknowledge their love and care for us. And we thank you for the plans you have for our lives. Help us to learn more about what they are and how we can live them and so bring the name of Jesus to other people in our lives. And we ask this in his mighty name. Amen. Now, earlier than normal, we're going to sing our closing song. Now, Andrea has very kindly supplied some chocolates that we're going to give out to the ladies present while we sing this song. You don't have to be a mother. All ladies can have these chocolates. And Andrea assures me that they are zero-calorie chocolates as well. But you can only have one. Could I have my helpers? Are you going to help? Where's the other one? Come on. We have some chocolates here if you'd like to give them out to all the ladies. If there's enough. Yes. Lots of helpers. We're going to sing our closing song. This is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Stand if you want. Sorry. Thank you. Please be seated. If you can stay behind for tea, coffee, biscuits and a chat, that would be lovely. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.